Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Another good program for you today. Coming up later on in the show, we'll have a review of the new action-adventure film The Eagle, directed by Kevin MacDonald and starring Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're going to spotlight the career of film composer Brian Tyler. He's been particularly active in Hollywood during the last decade or so, and thus far in his career has been a guy who has written a lot of very good music for a lot of very mediocre films. There have been a few successes, and we're actually going to start off with music from a pretty good film he scored back in 2000, starring William H. Macy. The movie's called Panic, and this is one of the first Tyler scores that made a real impression on me. Let's take a listen. Music written for the film Panic by composer Brian Tyler. That same year, he unleashed his inner Danny Elfman and had a good time scoring a movie entitled Terror Tract. Let's take a listen to this. Thank you. Decent stuff from composer Brian Tyler, if, again, a little reminiscent of Danny Elfman there, written for the 2000 horror film Terror Tract. Another one of the genuinely good films Tyler scored is Bill Paxton's horror movie Frailty. He brought a nice edge to that tale of supernatural horror. Let's take a listen to it now. Music written for Frailty by composer Brian Tyler. Next up, he turned to an entirely different, much sillier brand of horror with the very entertaining Bruce Campbell film Bubba Hotep. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Music from Bubba Hotep by composer Brian Tyler. Even though the types of horror that Tyler scored early in his career were pretty different, he did more or less get typecast in that genre. One of his most impressive horror efforts to date is his music for the genuinely terrible Darkness Falls. Let's take a listen to this strong symphonic piece.
Thank you.
and that's music written for Darkness Falls by composer Brian Tyler. The score that really took Tyler to the next level, at least in terms of popularity and recognition, was his work for the 2003 television miniseries Children of Dune. A couple of themes from this have been used quite a lot in movie trailers and commercials, and the score has been a really popular one among film music fans. So let's take a listen now to some of Tyler's music. Again, this is for the miniseries Children of Dune.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting the film music of composer Brian Tyler on the program today. Moving ahead now to the year 2006, we spotlight a fun score Tyler wrote for a military thriller starring James Franco entitled Annapolis. Let's take a listen. Music for Annapolis, written by Brian Tyler. A very broad, accessible score, as accessible as the next one is inaccessible. That would be Tyler's experimental work on the William Friedkin thriller Bug. Let's take a listen. Thank you. Okay, if you're still with us after that one, some of Brian Tyler's interesting music written for William Friedkin's Bug. It's effective within the film. I don't listen to it terribly often on its own, but it is interesting. Let's move back to something a little more conventionally lovely. This would be the score for a little scene film called Partition. Let's take a listen. Music for Partition by Brian Tyler. In 2008, Tyler incorporated the music of composer Jerry Goldsmith into his score for the newest Rambo film, simply entitled Rambo. Let's take a listen to some of that effort.
Thank you.
Music written by Brian Tyler with a bit of help from the late Jerry Goldsmith for the movie Rambo. Let's wrap up the musical portion of the program with another collaboration between Brian Tyler and Sylvester Stallone, this one for the ensemble action vehicle, The Expendables. Let's take a listen. We'll be right back. Music by Brian Tyler, written for The Expendables. I do hope you enjoyed the music we featured on the program today. Right now, it's time to move along to this week's movie review of the new film, The Eagle. Director Kevin MacDonald has been building a solid reputation in recent years, helming the much-lauded historical drama The Last King of Scotland and the unexpectedly melancholic, intelligent thriller State of Play. Now MacDonald offers up The Eagle, a red-blooded second-century action-adventure. While the film isn't as noteworthy as his previous outings, it's still a modestly enjoyable old-fashioned entertainment. The year is 140 AD, and the place is Roman-occupied Britain. Our protagonist is a Roman commander named Marcus Aquila, played by Channing Tatum, whose heroics on the battlefield save his men from destruction at the hands of British rebels. Unfortunately, the battle leaves Marcus wounded, which causes the powers that be in Rome to give him both a medal and an honorable discharge. Frustrated by this turn of events, Marcus vows to continue serving Rome in his own way. His goal? To find out what happened to the long-lost 9th Legion. You see, in the year 120 AD, the 9th Legion, led by Marcus's father, traveled into northern Britain and then disappeared. Lost with them was a golden standard in the shape of an eagle, one of the most prestigious items in all of Rome. Marcus is eager to know what happened to his father, but his first priority is to find the great eagle and bring it back to Rome. Accompanied only by a British slave named Esca, played by Jamie Bell, Marcus begins the most important mission of his life. To appreciate and enjoy The Eagle, one has to approach the film in the spirit it is intended. Do you remember those rousing historical fiction books geared at younger readers that were so very popular some decades ago? You know, the ones where young protagonists would go on some grand adventure that just so happened to provide readers with both a thrilling tale of derring do and a general overview of a particular historical era. The Eagle is the cinematic equivalent of such books, just as it should be. It's based on one, written by Rosemary Sutcliffe. I'm not suggesting that one should have to turn off their thinking cap to enjoy the film, but that one needs to accept that it is a tale of individual heroism and adventure rather than a larger analysis of this particular period in history. One could certainly question the virtues of the oppressive Roman Empire, and one could certainly regard the deaths in the film as pointless attempts at preserving little more than symbolic vanity. You wouldn't be incorrect for looking at the film from that perspective, but you would be missing out on the rough-and-tumble fun The Eagle has to offer. This is the story of two young men attempting to restore their lives and complete a dangerous mission, so let us leave it at that. Indeed, the relationship between Marcus and Esca is easily the film's most compelling and rewarding element, as MacDonald provides us with a change of pace from the usual buddy movie relationship template. The fact that Marcus is a Roman commander and Esca is his slave certainly makes any attempts at friendship rather complicated, and it's those complications that make the relationship so interesting. Just when the characters start to settle in, the screenplay throws a new wrench into their dynamic to shake things up in an interesting way. The quest itself is perhaps less consistently engaging, but MacDonald does a reasonably good job of setting an appropriately mysterious mood. There are occasional hints of dark fantasy sprinkled in from time to time, along with the usual dose, but not an overdose, of frantically staged action sequences. A handful of reliable supporting players turn up to add color to the fairly dour proceedings from time to time. Dennis O'Hare and Donald Sutherland get a good bit of screen time during the first act, while Mark Strong appears for a pair of key scenes later on. Channing Tatum isn't exactly the world's most charismatic actor. I've seen livelier chunks of granite, but he's actually well cast in the role of Marcus. He certainly looks the part, and Tatum's slightly dense moodiness plays nicely against the character's contrasting nobility and vanity. Tatum is at his best when the character is forced to do things that would ordinarily be regarded as beneath him. The actor captures wounded pride persuasively. Still, there's no question that Jamie Bell owns the film. Bringing a steely-eyed intensity to the table, Bell delivers a performance that recalls the method actor drive of a young Daniel Day-Lewis. Bell is sternly plain-spoken enough to convince us that he's a man of his word, but suspiciously quiet enough to make him an enigmatic figure we doubt from time to time. This guy is a real actor. Though The Eagle tells a tale of ancient Rome, its spare structure runs closer to the classic westerns than to the overstuffed Roman epics of yesteryear. Indeed, John Ford's The Searchers has been cited as a key influence on the filmmakers. While the film lacks the resonance and impeccable craftsmanship of that film, it works quite well as a simple entertainment. In the modern era of needless excess and movies overrun by special effects, an action-adventure that places an emphasis on story and characters is more than welcome. The Eagle is worth a look and gets a rating of 3 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. And right now we close out, appropriately enough, with The Eagles. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
Well, the stage was set, the sun was sinking low down as they came to town to face another showdown. The lawmen cleared the people from the street. All you bloodthirsty bystanders, will you try to find your seat?
Stardust, maybe.